So not often do I get to do what I'm about to do. You may have noticed there's some more Yankees in the crowd. So I am going to make my favorite sister-in-laws and nieces, before she leaves, say hello. Danielle, say hello. My sister-in-law, her friend Angela, who we just went to visit but wasn't home, and my niece Jessica, they came down yesterday and they were all piled in. So I'm feeling the Yankee levels are rising in the service. Amen. So, hey, before I get started, I want to ask a question. It's a very simple question, but why are you here tonight? What are you hoping to get from being in church? If we're honest, if we had those little bubbles where the honest answers came up, I would guarantee in a room this size, just because that's the law of averages, there's a few that are here simply because that's what you've always done on a Wednesday night. You go to church. Some of you are here because mom and dad said, hey, you're going to be in church. What about Sunday morning? Why do you come to church? Why do you go to church at all? Again, my hope is that it's not just because of tradition. It's not simply because it's what we've always done, but you have an expectation. You want something to happen. You want to accomplish something while you're at church. Amen. The same question can be asked, why do you read your Bible? Hopefully you read your Bible. Just because? Preacher said he's going to give you something to read every day, so you just check the box and, okay, I read my Bible. Why do you pray? What I'm looking to get at is this. Is my hope is every single time that you sit your body in these pews, or you open the Word of God, or you come before the throne of God, you have an expectation, you have a hope, something that you want to accomplish. There was an old timer that always prayed, Lord, may we walk in or walk out different than when we walked in. That is a great thing. And what I've realized is I was looking up in Scripture all the different promises. And depending on who you ask how many promises were in the Bible, they say anywhere between 2,500 and 8,800 promises. All of that depends on promises, with things attached, promises with, different angles and stuff like that. But can we all agree that there is a whole lot of promises in God's Word? I'm gonna put you on the spot. Somebody call out some of the promises, the verses that give us a promise. He'll be with us always.
He's coming again.
That's a big one. He's coming again. What else? A couple more. Come on, people.
Never flood the earth.
Never leave thee or forsake thee. Anyone? One more. What's that? He's preparing a place. Guys, that's the best promise of all. That all the things we're going through here, there's the promise of heaven and eternity. Amen? I got two verses I want to read. One is 2 Peter 1:4. It says this, whereby are giving unto exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This verse has really struck me a lot. It's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Brother Brian, would you pray for us?
Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for letting us be able to listen to the Word of God and it being open in front of us. And Lord, I pray that as Pastor Eric preaches, Lord, I pray that you fill him with your Spirit. And Lord, open our ears, open our hearts to receive this message. I pray that you give us a good rest this evening. In your name, amen.
Amen. Not going to lie, when I look up and I see a picture of myself looking back at me, I was a little startled, so I apologize. So guys, the reason I'm coming at the idea of expectations because of the promises of God is this. Over the course of the next 5 weeks, we have three events that are going to go on that could forever change the direction and the momentum that we have in our church. If you don't know, Sunday afternoon, right after the morning service, we are piling on a bus and in a couple vans and taking 35 of us down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for the Arise Conference. It was announced this week that there are 6,000 teenagers signed up, and we get to be a part of it. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to be there. They are asking everybody to pray at noon of every day of our lives for God's hand to be on them. And we're going to have a whole bunch going on this weekend with praying. So that's coming. So then we get home, we cover for a week. Then we're going to Camp Deer Lake with the juniors. Miss Morgan and my husband. Miss Morgan and her husband, my son Kyle. They're Kyle, Tori and Will, that was for you. They are going to be helping to run Deer Lake Camp for juniors pretty much from ages 8 to 13. So a lot of our kids are signed up to go. Some of the adults, young adults, are going to be a part of it. So that has a chance to shape that section. And I don't know if you heard, but July or August 6th through the 8th, we are having a vacation Bible school. Every waking hour that we are going to be home, we're going to be going to different daycares. We're going to be going to different recreations and handing out flyers for the VBS. This has the potential to start a tradition at our church where we bring in busloads of kids. I am beyond excited to see what God can do in that. But at the same time, for those that are going to arise, what is your expectation? What is your hope to happen that week? I'm hoping we're not just going in, hey, I'm getting a chance to get away. I'm hoping we're going, Arise has done some great things for a lot of people. God, I want something fresh. This group of juniors that are going, such a great group of kids. They're going to be the next generation of the high school kids. Can you imagine if they start to get it now? They have expectations that they want to know more about Christ and do more things for God. Same thing with VBS. But what is your expectation? Is it just, well, it's just another trip that the teenagers get to go on? Oh, VBS, that's just a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Praise God, it's going to be 3 days. But it's going to be 3 days that we need all hands on deck. If you have a pulse, we need you. I really hope you have a pulse. Just saying that. I have four thoughts that come with the Jeremiah 29:11. The first is this. God's heart and mind is full of promise towards each one of us. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. There are no surprises. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but there's nothing that you can do that's going to shock the Lord. He's never going to say, I didn't see that coming. Everything, every thought that God has towards us are intentional. And it's for good. It's not random. Again, there's nothing that you're going to do that can alter what God has intended for you. And what I mean by that is this. A lot of us have made mistakes in our lives, so the direction that maybe God had us going, God knew in his infinite wisdom and has us where we are today. I don't know if it brings a lot of comfort when I read that verse. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Guys, that's not just one of us pastors getting up and saying, hey, it's going to be all right. That's the Lord saying, guess what? I know exactly how I see you. I know exactly what I have intended for you. His promises are rooted in his unchanging character. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Psalm 115:12 says, the Lord has been mindful of us, and he will bless us. Here's the problem. My opinion is, from my own life and just watching others, way too often we let the words of the world dictate how we respond. Way too often we're letting society, someone get mad at us because we're talking about Jesus. Someone criticizing our Christianity. Well, they're being judgmental in any way, shape, or form. Folks, the reality is there's one voice that we should be listening to, and that's the Word of God. Again, I wish I could go through and figure out all the things that God has promised us, but it's, praise God, it's so big and so much that it would be like trying to drink out of a fire hose. But I can guarantee you, if we asked around the room, each one of us would probably have a different promise that we hang our hat on right now. Maybe for this season, there's a specific promise that you're asking God for. Maybe you've had a season where others, you know, that verse where it says, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going to guess many of us have thought in our darkest times, but God said he would never leave me. God said he would never forsake me. And praise God, it's probably carried us through sometimes. When was the last time that one of God's scriptures came alive and encouraged your heart and made you get through the night? You know, we've dealt with loss. We've dealt with brokenness. You know, we look around the room. There's probably a lot of things that have gone on in each one of our lives where we've had to grab a hold of the Word of God like we've never have before, and it got us through. And praise God for that. But that's what he's saying, for I know the thoughts I think towards you. I think we need to live with the expectation that God is actively working on our behalf. Sometimes we're not going to see it, right? The beautiful part is, you know, anybody here play chess? The best chess players I know, you might see them make one move, but they've already got three or four moves down the line ready to go. Praise God. Our God is a God of opportunity. He knows exactly what direction we're going to head. He knows our next move. He has those thoughts for us already. So God's heart and mind are full of promise toward you. Secondly, God's promises are for peace and wholeness. It says this, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Guys, I don't know if you guys realize, but peace is probably one of the most powerful words that you're ever going to hear in Scripture. Oftentimes when I ask folks, you know, friends of mine that are in the faith, hey, how you doing? And I have a season of peace, and it's been unbelievable. And it doesn't just mean like one specific direction, peace spiritually or emotionally or physically. But the idea of peace is when you can close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just relax. That is what God has intended for us, is peace. God's promise is not to harm you, but to heal you and restore you. But here's the kicker. You and I have to allow it. One of the biggest problems that, you know, that we see in our lives today is people get stuck on all this stuff. When you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? What are they telling you? Are they telling you, well, it's going good, but, you know, I have this medical condition and this child did this, or, you know, the government's trying to do this. Those are all valid things, but they shouldn't define who we are. Wouldn't it be a great day to be able to, when someone asks you how you're doing, you can say, my goodness, God is good. And not just say that as the good Christian answer, right? To be able to truly understand and believe, my goodness, my God is good. I have a peace like I haven't had. Folks, we have to choose it. We have this book that gives us all these promises. But are you living a life and expecting those things? Or do you read a verse and say, man, that would be really nice? Are you claiming the scripture as your own? Dr. Money said, the fact that Christ is coming back, are you hanging on to that? Are you living your life as though that is the end game? Because guess what? Yes, we need to take care of our bodies. I speak highly of that because my wife will tell me, be careful up there. Yes, we need to take care of our bodies. Yes, we need to do well in the things of the world, you know, paying our taxes and being a good citizen and all those things. But the reality is, none of us get out alive. And we're all going to face judgment. And praise God, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's going to be a glorious day. My hope is this. Not only is it exciting for you, but you're living in such a way that you're telling everybody else about it too. Like I said, nobody gets out alive. No one gets out without facing the judgment. We have to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. I love it in that verse when it says that. It says, thoughts of peace. Guys, that's what I want for my life. I want not only for me to have it personally, I want peace in my marriage, peace with my family, my kids, my grandkids. I want peace amongst us. I want peace in a way that people are going to say, hey, there's something different about the way you guys carry yourselves. What do you have that I don't? Guys, if we're walking around fretting, worried about the world, worried about the government, worried about the tariffs, whatever it might be, we are showing that we don't have faith that God's promises are real. We don't have faith that God intends to have thoughts of peace for us. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Isaiah 26, 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Expect and trust in God's peace, even and especially in the storm. I don't know about you, over the years we've had family and friends who've had, you know, that word cancer. Back in New York, there was a lady that lived down the street from us, very sweet lady. She had what we thought was a minor type of cancer. But she was done. She was so scared, literally within weeks, this cancer that should have taken years and shouldn't have even affected her, it took her life. And on the other side of that, we've known people that have cancer 3 and 4 times, but their mindset is, my peace is going to come from God. Whatever happens in this world, I'm fine with. Do we have that kind of peace? Do you realize that that's what God has intended for you? Are you actually expecting these promises to come to fruition? Folks, we could stand here and say, oh, praise God. But if we go home and we have a heart and a mindset of worry and fear, you realize that has a physical effect on your body. It has a physical effect on how your body responds to the things that come up in this world. You got to be able to have that mindset. The third one is this: God's promise lead to a certain future. I love that verse at the end. It says to give you an expected end. An expected end is a future filled with hope and purpose. Now, anywhere in there, did you say it was going to be easy? That there wasn't going to be trials? That there wasn't going to be brokenness and failures of yours and of others? But that expected end is what Dr. Money was saying. It's the second coming of our Lord and Savior. We have the promise of heaven. I don't know about you, I kind of feel like we're living the rest of our days on borrowed time. We know how it ends. We don't have to fear what comes. I'm realizing as I get older, it's getting a little tougher here and there. Like, my wife kind of laughs at me. We'll be driving yesterday to the beach for our anniversary. I go to get out of the car and I'm like, getting everything in order. And she's like, are you all right? I'm like, just give me a minute, you know? Get out of the car for 2 hours and it's a little bit sore. But the reality is this. Those bumps and bruises and sore muscles, those are well-earned after 50 years. So as our more mature, older folks, don't fret that things don't work as well as they used to, or they get a little sore, take more time to recover. Those are well-earned battle scars. But guys, do you realize that God already has a certain future for us? Bible says in Philippians 1:6, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said and he shall not do, or hath he spoken and shall not make it good. If God's word promises and says he's not a liar, and he promises all these different things, are we expecting them to come to fruition? Amen. Some of us have gone through some battles in the last few months. Physical, loss of loved ones, some things that have weighed heavy on us. My hope is you're clinging to the promises that God has. You're expecting those promises to come to fruition. His promises, he promises an end, not the end, a divine outcome, not a disaster. And one of the things I always tell myself is this: the expected end, that road could be anywhere. Do you guys ever see there's a little picture, it says, my plan, and it's a straight line. And then it's God's plan, and it's all these ups and downs and mountaintops and valleys and all these things. If we had it our own way, it'd be super easy, right? But what I've realized is a lot of us have gone through some things in our lives that God is going to use. If he hasn't already, he's going to use it down the road to the glory of himself. Guys, the experiences that you are having are not just for you. Some of us have gone through some things that we would be embarrassed to speak about from this pulpit. We'd be heartbroken for anyone to know about. But it's not just for your benefit. It's going to be for the benefit of the kingdom of God. He's going to use it because he promises it. Are you expecting those promises to come true? Are you expecting those promises to be real every time you hear them? Because I think if you talk to the average Christian, they don't know a lot of the promises of God. I'm amazed, you know, if you ever look up statistics, and I know statistics can be used for any purpose. You can make them say anything. But there's a group called the Barnum Group that does a lot of surveys and asking very pointed questions. Last time I preached, I talked about how few Christians, professing Christians, read the Bible. And you can tell because so many are worried about the things that are going on in this world. Folks, if you have access to the Word of God, our hope comes only from Christ. Amen. Again, you hear, you know, Dr. Jenkins always say, it's not going to be Trump, it's not going to be the government or Elon or anybody. Our hope is only going to come from Christ. What I'm trying to say tonight is God has given us a whole book of his promises. Promises to never leave us nor forsake us, to give you an expected end. So, I mean, literally we could go on with different verses for probably an hour. And each one of us would grab hold of a different one. But I'm saying all these things to ask you, what do you expect to come out of your faith? Are you expecting God-sized things or just to get by? Like I said, the reason I'm looking at it is this. I've been begging God because I have a vested interest not only with my daughter and my family going, but with 23 other teens from our church, 11 adults, that if those 35 people, if God gets a hold of them in a new way, and I love the idea of the theme of it's called Arise. So a week from Sunday, they're going to stand up on this stage and they're going to have the opportunity to share what took place in their hearts. I am trying my best to claim those promises for each one of those kids individually. I know Brian and all the leaders, and we're going to have a whole list of names for you guys to be praying. Are you going to pray with the expectation that God's going to be faithful when you do? That you can be faithful in prayer and that God's going to be faithful to answer those prayers? Because again, a group of 25 kids, you're going to have some kids that are coming from great homes, hard homes. They're going to come from, you know, some of them are going to be graduating. Some of them are going to be, you know, going into 8th and 9th grade. All different avenues and in places in life. Are we going to pray and expect God to do something great? Or are we just going to kind of do what people do is, we'll pray. Same thing with our junior camp and with VBS. Do you expect VBS, it's just going to be a lot of work and, I don't want to do it. I'm busy. That's, you know, it's really hard. Folks, there is a role for you to be there. What an opportunity it's going to be for us as a church to do one thing really big, really well. But do you expect God to do something great? Are you going to be willing to take some flyers and hand them to the neighbor's kids? Are you going to be willing to take them to the guy you work with that has a whole house full of kids? That's the kind of commitment we're going to need. But are you expecting God to show up in the midst of it? Amen. Romans 8:28 says, do all things work together for good to them that love God. In Psalm 37, 4-5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As a young Christian, like many of you made of, I thought, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. I want a new car. I want this. I want that. It wasn't until I was a little more seasoned that I realized the closer I got to Christ, He was going to indwell me with the desires of the things of God. And a lot of that came to the opportunity to love and win others to Christ. You want to talk about something that moves the needle is when you get a chance to watch a kid go from death to spiritual life. When you get to lead a kid, you answer all the questions, they hear the messages, they hear the songs, they're a part of the conversations, and they get it. Their eyes are opened. There is nothing more powerful. To me, I'm asking God to give me the desires of my heart that these next three events are going to blow the doors off this place. That we're all going to go, did you see how many kids got baptized when we got back from Arise or from the junior camp? Did you see what happened at VBS? We had so many kids. Brother Brian went bald like Pastor Heist because he didn't know what to do. Are you praying with that expectation? The last one is this. God's promises are sure and unshakable. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. God's word cannot fail. His character guarantees his promise. Hebrews 10:23. He is faithful that promised. Joshua 21:45. There failed not aught any good thing which the Lord has spoken. All came to pass. What I want you guys to do is this. Not put our hope or anchor our hopes in feelings or emotions. Put them in the promises of God. If the Bible says that his word does not return void, and we're taking 35 people. I say 35 because guess what? As much as it's great to have the teens, the leaders, their lives get changed too. Not only by watching how our kids respond, but we get to hear the preaching too. That's why I'm asking you, pray for the leaders as well. But do you realize that God's word says that he is going to be faithful? That his word will not return void. So if you pray in earnest for those teenagers and for those leaders, for VBS, for the junior camp, Bible says it's not going to return void. I think living with expectations based on God's promises. God thinks good thoughts about you. God desires peace for you. He has a future for you, and he keeps his promise. I wrote this down. It says, because God has promised, I will expect good things. My hope is not in chance, but in Christ. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Guys, for us to be able to trust in the promises and have expectations for those to come to fruition, it's not going to come just by chance. It's not going to come by dabbling in the Word of God. It's not going to come by being a Christian on Wednesdays and Sundays. That's one of those statistics that scared me is, you know, that most Christians, by their statistics, are Christians on Sunday, then they wait till the next Sunday to get their next Christian fix. Guys, I'm going to ask, we're traveling on Sunday. The conference starts on Monday night. I need you guys to be praying for us. Brother Brian's prepared a list. We're going to have it for you on Sunday. We're going to get a chance to pray for the kids as they're leaving on the bus. We're going to try to do the exact same thing for the junior camp, VBS. I need us to diligently seek Christ that from now on, but let's start now so that we're ready spiritually for what's to come. Amen. One of the things that Dr. Jenkins has said to us as staff is God is only going to give us what we're ready for. You know, Easter, we had a tremendous turnout. We've had some great responses. We have people sitting here today who've gotten saved and baptized by the process that we went through for Easter. But he's not going to keep giving us visitors in opportunities like this in VBS if we as a church aren't preparing our hearts for it. And what does that mean? There's a list out there to sign up to help with VBS. We're going to hand you a list this week. Please pray over it. Pray over how God can use you in VBS. We're not going to make you get up and, you know, lead a song. You know, we're not going to put you in the middle of a dodgeball game. But I'm telling you, to have you here on campus praying for kids as they're coming by, to encourage kids, to yell for them as they do their games and all these things. To come in the auditorium and be a part of the singing at the end of the night. We need to start diligently seeking Christ today, hanging on his promises. I don't know about you, then my expectations are going to keep going up for what God can do. What about you? Are your expectations going to stay where they were when you came in? Or are you going to start grabbing hold of the promises and claiming them one by one? Write them down. Memorize them. I can tell you this. As a church, I'm not saying that we're not doing a great job, but if we all take one more big step forward in the weeks to come, in prayer and involvement, you're going to see something great happen through all these opportunities. I really believe that Easter was the start of a season for us as a group of church, that God can do something unbelievable. I want to be a part of it. I hope you do too. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord. We do ask and we claim the promises that your word has, Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God are in him, yea, in him, amen, unto the glory of God." God, we do ask, God, that you'd change our hearts, Lord, that we would change our expectations to really, truly seize the promises that you've given us.